and that's what David got. No, you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. There was a woman drawing water from the well. She had so many requests, so often she failed. But Jesus knew where she had been. Still he forgave her of her sin. Then her life began to flow. Living waters for the soul. Oh, you can't ask too much of my God. You can't ask too much of my God. When you're to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham? The great I am is greater than any problem you've got. You can't ask too much of my God. You can't ask too much of my God. And when Sarah was 90, God gave her a child. Well, I believe that just as then, he's here to move like that again. He has a miracle to do. He only needs to hear from you. And you can't ask too much of my God. You can't ask too much of my God. When you're broken and you cannot find the peace of mind that seems to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham? The great I am, he's greater than any problem you've got. Much of my God, you can't ask too much of my God. You can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my
sing it next time. I like the Magic Kingdom. They have a fireworks show, and it says, "And they lived happily ever after." And I thought about, you know, it's the Christian right there.
Hey.
We go through life, and we have good times, and we have bad times. We have good days, and we have bad days. We have triumphant days, and we have disastrous days. But in the end, for the believer, we all live happily ever after.
Amen.
And I'm excited about that. And I hope, pray that you picked up a bulletin. If they have not done so, there's a calendar on the back that tells about a lot of the things that are coming up. Next week, there'll be a deacon's meeting immediately following the morning service. And then the following week, we'll be having our Pray for Schools. It's hard to believe the children are going back to school. already. It seemed like it just got out. I know they feel that way. And I saw people in Walmart the other day buying school supplies, and I thought, man, what are y'all buying so early for? But I forgot, they go back so early. So we're going to take the time the following Sunday. We're going to pray for our kids as they go back to school, pray for our teachers, that God would empower them. They are being asked to do things that are completely against what they believe. They're being forced to take stands that they do not believe in. And our culture is pressing in on every side, trying to win the minds of our children. And we need to pray for them. I know that God is greater than anything the world has to offer. And we need to stand up and make sure our children know that they can depend on God when they don't have anything else. Also, remember our men's retreat coming up in September. Have we got sign-up sheets yet?
Yeah, we've got
front. Sign-up sheets are in the foyer. We would love to have you come be a part of that with us. We have a wonderful time, and it gets you away from your wife for a couple of days. And
yeah, but we still have the credit card.
That's true. It will come at a cost. I promise you that. Everything does. But we'll have a great time on our men's retreat, and we have a wonderful time of fellowship. The food's always great, and we have a wonderful time. So invite you to be a part of that. As soon as we get back from the men's retreat, homecoming is here. And we'll have Ricky Atkinson and Compassion with us that morning. We'll be eating that afternoon, and we're looking forward to that as well. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward this morning. Do remember those. Jail and Glenda had to leave to go to the memorial service after Sunday school. Ask the Lord to be with them as they travel to Rockmart. And then Gene Tatum had to go to the emergency room. They were supposed to be in Gatlinburg celebrating their anniversary, and he's in the ER instead up in Cherokee. So if you would please pray for Gene, that God would touch him. And it seemed like there was somebody else who was sick. Continue to remember all those that are out sick, that are struggling with various things, that God would touch them and give them a help in their time of need. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Peter, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering?
Heavenly Father, thank you for another day given us. Lord, thank you for what you've done in the church, Lord, what you've done. Dear Lord, I pray for this offering, which is out of this for our King. Dear Lord, I pray for this brother Gene that gets in the hospital. Dear Lord, I pray to be with him, Lord. Dear Lord, I pray just to touch and have you move away, sir. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
That was needed.
for a place called Mount Calvary.
Stand with your Bibles open in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Give you a chance to stretch your legs this morning as we read several verses in this passage of Scripture here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. The valley was called Elah. Verse 4 says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock.
And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would be with us in this service this morning. During this time of sharing your word, I pray that it would be a great encouragement to those that have gathered this morning. God, I pray that you put your words in my mouth and your thoughts in my heart. I pray, God, that you would put your spirit in my body, Lord, that nothing would be said that you would not have me say it. Lord, I pray that we would hear from you, God, and you alone this morning. And it would be an encouragement to our hearts. And when all things are done, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in your name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're picking up where we left off just a couple of weeks ago on these thoughts, victory in the valley. There are many instances throughout the Bible where we see God's people challenged in the valley and how God being with them, they overcome their troubles or they overcome their trials and they make their way out of the valley. How if we'll trust in God in the valley, He will deliver us in our time of need. Well, one of the greatest stories in the Bible of someone overcoming great obstacles and an overwhelming opponent is the story that we just read about, David and Goliath. Even pagans use this story to encourage others who might not feel adequate to accomplish a task. We're told in verse 3 that both armies, Israel and the Philistines, were camped on a hillside. And there was a valley between them where the battle would ultimately take place. I told you that the name of that valley is the name of Elah, which means oak. The Israelites, armed with the greatest weaponry ever known to man, the presence of Jehovah, were wrecked by fear at the mere words of the Philistine. Verse 11 says that they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. We are never more crippled as Christians than we forget the source of our power.
Amen.
We are never more vulnerable than we forget the God in which we serve.
Amen.
David has been sent by his father to see how the battle is going. They didn't have CNN, thank the Lord. They didn't have Fox News. They didn't have ways of finding out what was happening. So all the brothers, the old three older brothers, are at battle with the Philistines. And Jesse sends David, calls him from the shepherd's field, and sends him to go and inquire how the brothers are doing. He sends them with bread and with some cheese and some things that they might need. And David comes into the camp just in time to hear the words that this giant, this Philistine, has been proclaiming for the last 80 days. Little did he know that this was the last time he would utter those words. This is the last time that he would curse the God that David served. And David gets there and he hears these words of this Philistine. And he sees the reaction of the armies. How just the mere sight of this soldier and the mere words that he speaks causes them to retreat in fear. David says, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe the things that I'm beholding with my eyes. He was in utter disbelief at the cowardice that was displayed on behalf of the Israelites. What gave him such courage to stand as a young shepherd boy? He was not a member of the army. He was not familiar with wearing armor, as we'll find out later. He wasn't familiar with swinging a sword. And the men trained to do so were fleeing in fear. What gave David statement to courage to stand and fight in a time when everybody else is running away.
Yeah.
As a church, we should be asking ourselves the same question. We walk into the church in the morning and we see people who are fleeing all around us in fear. The church houses ought to be full today. Based upon the condition that our country is in, the attack that we are under, our churches ought to be full today. But do you know when I pulled out of my driveway, there was no traffic jam. There was no traffic holding me up on 575. I would have passed them if they were, but they weren't there. Barrett Parkway was a ghost town today, driving to the house of the Lord. Churches I passed on the way had parking lots that were empty today because the people are afraid to stand and fight.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, there is a cause and there is a reason. And David saw that, and he had the belief of what God, he was close to God, he had trusted God before, and he understood what he needed to do.
Amen.
I want to look this morning at five things. I want to give to answer this question this morning five different ways. And the question is this: what made David great? What made David great in his faith? First off, I want to say that David was an anointed man. In chapter 16 of this book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10, it says, "And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord," which when you see that the word Lord all capitalized, it represents God in His complete fullness. God Himself said, "Hath not chosen these." Verse 11, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for he is this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." You see, David had been anointed at the time he came to the battle, but he had not yet been appointed. He had been anointed because he had been chosen of God to do a great work. The lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ would be through David, and God was using him for a greater purpose, and he had already been anointed, but he had not yet been appointed. But the most important thing was he had been filled with the Spirit. The oil represents the Spirit of the Lord. And it is important for us as believers to be Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If we're going to do anything as a church, if we're going to do anything as a teacher, if we're going to do anything as a singer, we must be filled with the Spirit to do so. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What it means is that God has all of you that there is to have. God has every bit of your life. D.L. Moody heard the statement, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him." How did D.L. Moody respond? He said, "By God's help, I aim to be that man." And the rest is history. He changed two continents for the cause of Christ. You see, he was an anointed man. It is important for us as believers to be anointed by God. We have been appointed to a fight, but the only way to handle the fight is to be anointed. David was able to do the things and to take the bold declaration and the bold stand that he did because he was an anointed man. But not only that, David was an angry man. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24 and 26 says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to divide Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done? He's asking a question here. He's like, did I hear that right? What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the approach from Israel? Notice this one. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David is saying, why does there have to be a reward for this? Is it not enough that he's cursing our God? Is it not enough that he's cursing the one who brought us out of Egypt, who brought us out of bondage, who led us into the land of glory? Is it not enough that he's cursing our God? David was an angry man. You see, there's a right kind of anger. There's a right kind of anger. Jesus got angry. Jesus got angry in the temple when he drove them out. You can't love God like you need to love God until you hate the devil. Until you hate sin. You cannot be all that God wants you to be until you hate sin. Parents, you of all people, and grandparents, you of all people ought to be angry at sin and the devil. 1 in 8 teenagers have abused drugs this year. By the 12th grade, 62% of teenagers have abused alcohol at some point in time or another. 350,000 U.S. teenagers under the age of 18 become pregnant each year. Approximately 82% of those are unintended. 31% of those end in abortion. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24. I'm telling you, we ought to be angry at some things this morning. We ought to be angry at the things that are being taught to our children. We ought to be angry at the battle that's being waged against their minds and telling them that they ought to be ashamed of the way God made them. We ought to be angry at the fact that their minds are under attack by the media who's using their platform to rationalize a godless behavior and calling it normal, even convincing them that God made a mistake when he assigned them a gender at birth. We ought to be angry about some things this morning as a church like we've never been before. We are under attack in a way that we have never seen before. And what do? We sit back and we say, well, I've got money in the bank. My health is good. I'm not worried about those things. Well, the Bible says not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where the moth and rust does not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say you're passionate this morning. No, I'm angry. I'm angry this morning that the church is turning their back while the world is calling our God false. While the world is cursing the Lord Jesus Christ. While the world is making fun of us and mocking our Savior. I'm angry this morning at what we're facing.
Yeah.
America needs to get back to God.
Amen.
Our children are being attacked like they've never been before. Psalm 139:14 says that I am fearful and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, young girl, something. God did not make a mistake when he formed you in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
God did not make a mistake when he made you the way he made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Hey.
Thirdly, David was not just an anointed man. He was not just an angry man. What made David great? Thirdly, he was an available man. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David was available for the battle. What was David doing there in the first place? He was sent there by his father. I read to you in verse 17. He was sent there by his father. He was doing the will. This is the man who had been anointed. Now, if you put yourself in David's shoes, let's say you're around 12, 13 years of age, and the man of God comes to your house and looks at all of your brothers and says, you're the one, and anoints you in the presence of your brothers to be the next king. How would you handle that? I'd be strutting around there. Somebody bring my Mercedes. No, I won't drive a Porsche today. I mean, think about it. But David was submissive to the will of his father. What made him great? Even though he was the one future king, he was still submissive to the authority. He understood that everybody answers to somebody until you get to God. Everybody answers to somebody. He was available to the call. He was there in the first place because he was doing the will of his father. What's happened to us today?
Hey.
We're not submissive to the Father and to His call and what He asked us to do. I remember when parents used to pray for their children to serve God. Not just to get saved, but to serve the Lord. I remember when families would celebrate the fact that someone had given their heart to Jesus Christ and decided to go to the mission field, or they decided to preach the gospel. I remember a day when people used to want their children, but I remember now we have a church camp, we bring the kids back and someone gets saved and the parents start trying to talk them out of it.
Hey.
That's right.
Telling them how they're confused. Well, God is not the author of confusion.
Hey.
You cannot make a mistake going toward God. Being available to what God wants you to do. You may not be perfect. You may not, I get up here and sing. My voice cracks. I forget the words to the songs. I understand my limitations and my liabilities. But I'm thankful to have the opportunity to do something for God.
Amen.
I'm doing the best that I can with what God has given me. That's all He's required of me. And that's why I have the ability to stand and do that, is because I realize that anything you do for the Lord, a cold drink of water given in His name would not lose its reward. And therefore, I get up here and I can stammer around, I can lose my place, I can lose my word. It does not matter. Doing something for God is all that matters.
Amen.
Little as much when God is in it.
Amen.
David's a 12-year-old boy. He's not a soldier. He's not a fighter. He's a defender of the faith. But he was available to the work of the Lord.
Hey.
I like this part. I can't hardly preach this morning because I know what's coming. Fourthly, David was an assured man. He was an assured man. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God."
Hey.
David was an assured man. You see, he had grown up pretty much alone in the shepherd's field. He didn't have soldiers there to protect him. He was just given charge over the sheep. And what the shepherd does is he protects his sheep at any cost.
Hey.
That's why he was so proficient with the sling and with the staff. He was protecting, he was used to protecting the things that were important to him. What a picture of God. What He does for us. We get ourselves in some of the biggest messes that we are. We can't even fathom how to get out of them. In some way, God comes and meets our need right where we are.
Hey.
David is, he's just a picture of God. He's a picture of Christ right here.
Hey.
He's doing the work of what He was assured. You remember what Jesus said? I can't quote it exactly, but when Jesus was praying to the Father, and He said that He would protect those that he had not lost anybody that God had given Him, that He had kept every single one of them.
Yeah.
That's what God will do for us.
Hey.
We have the assurance of the power of God. David had the assurance of the power of God in his heart. You see, nothing is too There is nothing that we cannot overcome with God on our side. But what David did that we don't do is he put God to the test. You know why he was assured that the giant was going to fall? Because he had seen God work in the past and he knew he would work in the future. When's the last time you gave something to God and let him handle it?
Amen.
I'm talking about wholly committing something to God, giving it to him and saying, God, I don't know what to do with it. I'm just going to put it into your hands. You tell me what you want me to do. David had trusted God. He had tried God. If we can't figure out a way to pay for it now, we don't want to do it. People, I talk to young couples sometimes, and I ask them this question. They'll be struggling financially, and I say, do you tithe? They look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
I barely got the money to pay my bills. How do I tithe? The tithe don't come after you pay your bills. It comes before you pay your bills. Give God the first.
Yeah.
You'll always have the money to pay your bills if you put God first. If you give Him the first fruits, don't give Him the leftovers. Put God first. Try Him and see if He won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'd not be able to receive it. You say, you're preaching prosperity gospel. I'm preaching the Bible.
Amen.
That's what I didn't say that. God did. We're to give God the first fruits, not the leftovers. Fifthly, David was an aggressive man. An aggressive man. Too many times today we want to sit back and watch other people do it. We'll see in a moment that when David goes into the battle, when he slays the giant, what does the rest of the army do? Gets in the battle.
Yeah.
They were afraid. They were cowering down, hiding in the nooks and crannies of that hillside. But when the battle's won, all of a sudden they join in and they get energized. Chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Notice that this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands."
Hey.
Get the picture now. That giant has been calling for 80 days for them to send somebody out to fight him. And they're so afraid. They are so disabled in fear. They are so terrified by what they see and what they hear. Do you know what I've learned over the years? A bully will keep bullying you if you let him.
That's right.
Satan will keep pushing you around as long as you let him. There are many times when I get fed up with it and I take the devil to that old altar where I knelt and gave my heart and life to him, where he suffered his greatest defeat in my life, where the Lord bruised his head with his heel, and I can't lose the battle. God's already won it. And sometimes I'll take the devil back. I am no match in my flesh for the devil, and neither are you. I hear these preachers on TV and they say, "I rebuke thee." You ain't got the power to fill up a thimble. Rebuke the devil. Who are you to rebuke? It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can defeat him.
That's right.
I tell you, I don't go take him head on. I go with the Savior.
Yeah.
I take him to the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed my soul, that saved me. That giant steps out. David's already told him what's about to happen. And I believe that giant mocked him even more. He looks at this little boy with no armor, with no sword, no weaponry that he can see. David picks up 5 stones. He puts that stone in that sling. With confidence, he begins to sling that sling.
Yep.
He lets that thing go, and it embeds right between the eyes of that giant. The giant falls. David pulls out his own sword, the giant's sword, cuts his head off, and parades it to show them there's no longer a reason to be afraid. David didn't win that victory. God did.
That's right.
He was just a weapon of the Lord. Some ask, why did he get 5 stones? Well, the giant had brothers. But once they see his head cut off, they didn't want no part of that. They ran and hid themselves. But David was prepared for the battle. Because the battle was the Lord's. And today we need to be prepared for the battle.
Yeah.
How do you get prepared for a fight with Satan? On our knees.
Yeah, right.
That's the only way. We've got to be filled by the Spirit. Where are we filled by the Spirit? At the good old altar.
Amen.
Where we get a hold of God and say, God, I give you my life. Lord, I give you my kids. Lord, I give you my parents. I give you my grandparents. I give you this church. Lord, I give it all to you. That's how we prepare for the battle. Verse 47 said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saith, not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. They saw an adversary. David saw an advocate. They saw defeat, but David saw deliverance. While they trembled, David triumphed. Church, we have to get back to God if we're ever going to see victory in Him. David had great faith. But where does faith come from? Faithfulness. It comes by putting God to the test. There are people who get up on Sunday morning and they ask this question, are we going to go to church this morning? That was never a question in my heart. There was never a time that I woke up and said, Mom, are we going to church today? No, we just were. We knew we were. We went to church so much, I didn't know there was anything else. My kids have never asked me, are we going to church tomorrow? They've never asked that question of us because we always go to the house of God. It's not a question of me.
Okay.
It is important to me to be in God's house.
Yeah.
Now I know we can't all be here all the time. I understand that. But it ought to really hurt you to not be in God's house. It ought to really bother you not to go to your Father's house. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God's already told us He will deliver us. Satan might win a battle every now and then in your life, but God's already won the war.
Amen.
We are victors, not victims. And we need to start acting like it. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. Did you hear that? God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves. I want to tell you something. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Stop walking around like a victim.
Amen.
On Wednesday nights, we used to have testimony service, and people would get up and say, I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And, you know, they'd go through different things. And one old man used to get up every Wednesday and say the same thing. Thank the Lord for saving my soul. The devil's been on my back all week, but I shook him off when I come to the house of God. People shout, you know. I used to think to myself, what are you carrying him around for? We are victors, not victims. We don't have to carry the devil around. He's a defeated foe.
Yeah.
We don't have to give in to the things that the devil tells us we have to give in to. We don't have to associate with this old world. We don't have to get in bed with the things that we don't believe in. Those disciples, if you go back and read in Acts, when Jesus was arrested, when they were taking him to Calvary, they arrested him in the garden. What did the disciples do? The Bible says they all fled in fear. Once Jesus appeared to them, he goes to the cross, he's crucified, he's placed in a tomb, he is risen from the dead 3 days later. He appears upon this earth for 40 days. The disciples seen him, they saw his works. Once they got a hold of God, once they saw Jesus in all of his glory, they were willing to die for him. Most all the disciples ended up being martyred for him. Boiled in oil, crucified upside down, beheaded. They faced certain death, and they did it with honor. What changed in them? They had a touch of God.
Hey.
They experienced him in a way that they had never experienced him before. Therefore, they, instead of running and afraid, they became bold witnesses for Christ.
Yep.
Which are you? Are you one of those that when someone at work brings up the Bible, you change the subject? Are you one of those that doesn't want to talk about the things of God? Maybe something comes to your mind, someone's having a problem, and you remember that you prayed for something and it came true, but you won't share that because you don't want people to think you're a fanatic. You avoid the things of God. You need a fresh touch. You need a fresh touch that only He can give. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are people here today who have tried everything under the sun to fix their problems. But we serve a God that likes to work when nothing else will. A God that likes to solve our greatest needs. To do things that we cannot explain. David had the power of God on his life. And he was able to conquer that giant because of it. Do you have a giant in your life that has a foothold? I mean, do you have somebody that is, right now, something came to your mind that has a power over you that keeps you from being all that you could be for God? Slay that giant this morning. You have something in your life that's been holding you back. Slay that giant this morning. You've got God's money in your pocket where you've not given like you should. I'm asking you to slay that giant this morning. You have a spiritual condition where you don't feel as close to God as you once did. Slay that giant this morning. Take on the power of God. Come to it in the name of the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, as we go into this time, Father, we're inviting people to come and do business with you, to pray, to ask you, God, for help in their time of need. God, to give them what they stand in need of as only you can do. Lord, they can come and tell me about it. And I can give them advice, but there's nothing I can do to change their situation. But I serve a God who is able to do exceeding above anything that I could ask of them. God, I'm asking them, Lord, to come and trust you with their problems. Come and trust you with their request. Come and trust you with their needs. God, if there be one here, God, that maybe wants to join our church, become a member of our body of believers, Lord, I invite them, Lord, to come. God, if you've been laying it on their heart to come and link up with this church, Lord, I pray you give them the courage to do so. Lord, whatever we stand in need of this morning, I pray, Father, that you would just provide for us that as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray, while we stand and while we sing.
Just as I
church this morning, that you would continue to speak to our hearts.
Yes.
Lord, that you would put your word in their heart, God. You'd put your spirit in their body, God. That you'd put, Lord, your thoughts in their mind, Father. They would gain victory today through you.
Yes.
God, I pray and thank you, Lord, for all those that have gathered here this morning, for those that were unable to be here. I pray, Lord, that you would just, Lord, touch them in a special way. Lord, keep us safe from all harm. Watch over us. Lord, give us leadership and guidance, Lord, as only you can do. When all things are done, we'll thank you and praise you. For it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Appreciate you so much for being here. And I pray that God would continue to do a work in your life. I know there are some that have shared with me some things they're going through. I just want you to know we're praying for you and for your situation. I'm glad I know somebody that I can talk to you about.